So good morning, afternoon, evening. My name is Daryl, and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm glad to be here, and I am so glad to be abstinent. If you're new to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I'd like to say welcome. And as I was saying that, there was a joy that came upon me to be able to say that, to know what it means, and more importantly, to know that there is, not might be, not I hope, that there is a solution to compulsive eating. Oh boy, you know, for so long, I knew, okay, I'm like some of y'all. For so long, I thought I had food issues. But there's a big difference between having issues with food and being a compulsive food eater. That's it. Because, and what I'm saying is that issues can sometimes be overcome by just making up the mind not to do it, or therapy or whatever, you know. But the thing that differentiates me from other people is that I've got a thing that is embedded in my head. I have an abnormal relationship with food that is so deeply embedded in my mind that, first of all, I can't see the truth about me and food. I can't see the truth about it. You can't scare me out of it. I can't think my way out of it. I'm just like the man in the big book. He says, but doctors warn us that if we don't stop, we'll be dead in a little while. And we say, boy, if that sure ain't a good reason to go out and eat. There's something warped in my mind about eating, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. And so I would keep trying to find a way to control and enjoy food. And the problem is that even though I couldn't find a way, so it wasn't so much that I couldn't find a way as I couldn't see that I couldn't find a way. And so I tried every, oh boy, I tried, he talking about every, I tried every known means to get the eating idea out of my head. You know, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love that book because they talk about in dealing with these addictions and whatever, that there's a world of ignorance out there about them. And this is what I'm saying. I used to live in Southern California, and I was a member of a healthcare organization called Kaiser. And I went to Kaiser to deal with my eating, you know, because I'm a diabetic. And so first of all, you got to try to figure out a way to, you got to find a way to do something about my diabetes. And my thing with my diabetes was, doctor, please give me some more medicine. And they'd give me some more medicine, and then I'd eat more. And so I finally went through a program at Kaiser, And Kaiser, and so I'm only sharing my experience. If this ain't yours, I ain't gonna be mad at you, but I'm telling you my experience. So Kaiser told me that if my wife loved me, she would get rid of all of the stuff that I should not eat. And I believe them. But she was adamant about it. I don't have a problem. You the one got the problem. So why should I have to give up the things that I love just to do that? And so what happened is that when I came into OA, I came into OA the day after Thanksgiving in 2024. And it's like, if you're old enough to remember a group called the Fifth Dimension, and the Fifth Dimension talk about, and the moon is in the seventh house. And so a whole lot of things had to be in alignment on that Thanksgiving day, but a whole lot of stuff got into alignment that enabled me to see for myself my relationship with food. And it really wasn't anything that was really, it wasn't dramatic. It wasn't anything that was over the top. Here's what happened. The day before Thanksgiving in 2024, I ate a bunch of junk for breakfast. And so you see, I can mention junk as long as I don't talk about particular food. So I ate a bunch of junk. And so on Thanksgiving, I went to the family gathering, and the fa family gathering was at my daughter's house. And so I'm sitting at my daughter's house, and I'm talking to my granddaughter Brandy. I think Brandy is like 23 years old. Yes, I'm kind of an old guy. And so I'm talking to Brandy, and I'm telling Brandy about what I ate the day before Thanksgiving for breakfast. And Brandy has a look on her face. You know the look. The look that they give us when we've been binging, and they know that we shouldn't be binging, and they're looking us at us with this face of utter disbelief. How could you be doing this? And so that's how Brandy looked at me. And something happened. I don't know what it was. Something happened. That's why I like the big book, because when the big book talks about it, they say, well, something happened. And so I don't have to know what it was that happened. All I know is that exactly what the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says needs to happen for a guy like me. And that is that God at that point in time entered my heart and my mind about my condition. And the reason I say that he entered my heart, because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says that they learned that they had to fully concede to their innermost selves that they were alcoholics, and that was the first step in recovery. And so for me, this thing about I'm a compulsive overeater, this was no longer an idea. It was in my heart. And what happens is that when the idea that I'm a compulsive overeater, when that idea entered my heart, my life changed. Because the very next day, not a week later, the very next day, I went online and I was looking for a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And that morning, I wound up in a group called OA Footsteps. They meet at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 days a week. I wound up in that meeting, and I have been in that meeting every day from then until now. Because what they promised me is that when this truth about me and food enters my heart, it's going to enter my life, and when it enters my life, it is going to alter the way that I live. I started to go into meetings. The very first day I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I asked a man to be my sponsor. And what he said was, he said, "Well, I don't know, but I'll get you started." And he gave me some directions about the things that I needed to do in order to get started. And then in a little while later, he pointed me towards the man who is my sponsor today. And in the meantime, when I went to that first meeting, because see, when the truth about me and food entered my heart, then I'm no longer in denial about it, because now I see that contrary to what I believed before, my next encounter with food could possibly be my last. Because a compulsive overeating is a fatal illness. And so I ain't got no time. I don't have no time to waste. I better get to work. And so I was so glad, because I came in with an open mind. And that means that I heard about them tools. Oh my God. I heard about them tools. Oh my God. And I'm gonna tell you, and I'm just telling you my story. I was able to, it's like if you guys live in California, you know about what a swap meet is. You go to the swap meet. And so on that first day, I was able to swap my fork for the tools of Overeaters Anonymous. Hallelujah. Boy, what a trade. Man, I picked up them tools. And what I found was that the compulsion to eat is such a predominant thing in my life that to try to put the compulsion to eat out without replacing it with something creates a vacuum. And the compulsion to eat is coming back again. And so I picked up those tools, and that's what I tell any newcomer today. Listen, while you're trying to find a sponsor, blah, 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 pick up them toolkits, man. Pick up them toolkits. Get you a food plan, get you a sponsor, get you a home group, start calling people on the phone, you know. And so what those tools do and what they did for me was they allowed me the opportunity from the beginning. Because here's what the big book says: those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves. And so the tools allowed me to completely give myself to the program. The program of Overeaters Anonymous is such an intense program, because no matter how long we've been here or how short have we been here, we've got one thing in common, and that is within a little while, a meal is coming. In a little while, a meal is coming, and you better get ready for it. And now when it's coming, there's one of two things that can happen. Either the meal, the encounter with the food, is going to come and the food is going to overpower me again, or something is going to happen. And some power is going to be there, so that when the next encounter with food comes, it's much different than my past experiences with food. And so I go to meetings every day. I got a sponsor. I'm currently writing my fourth step. My fourth step. And so I'm not one that's gonna say, ooh, the fourth step. I'm one that's gonna say, hooray. Listen, because you people have told me that if I take these simple steps, I will, not I might, not it's a strong possibility. He says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, that's a guarantee. That's like, listen, that's like fishing in a barrel. That's like fishing in a barrel. If I take these steps, I can't miss God. I can't miss him. I can't miss him, and therefore, I cannot miss the power of God to be able to use him in my life so that I will not compulsively overeat again. What a promise, man. What a promise. And so what the big book suggests is that but that promise doesn't really hold a lot of weight unless I can go back and begin to adopt the mind of a child. He talks about childlike faith, right? Childlike faith, right? So childlike faith means that the kid believes that a man has a sack, like a Kroger sack, and he got enough toys in that sack to give every kid all the way around the world one toy in one night, including bicycles, train, basketball, everything. He got that. That's the kind of childlike faith that I found in Overeaters Anonymous, because I began to believe in the magic of it. And that is, I came in here, man, and I had never known anybody. Listen, since I've been here, I've known people that have lost 200, 300 pounds through just a simple program of action. Nothing spectacular. Nothing spectacular. The magic of the program. I came to believe that. And so when I came in, I had tried for years. You know how it goes. I tried for years to lose weight. I lose some and I gain it back, and I lose some and I gain it back. And so you guys told me here that one of the words that I could get rid of in my vocabulary was the idea of losing weight. Because you told me the problem with losing it is most of the time if I lose it, I'll probably go back and find it. And then if I don't want to go back to find it, maybe I should start to talking about it in terms of I released it. And what that means for me is that I gave this additional weight back to God, because I no longer, it no longer what needed to be a part of who I was. I could release it to him, and if I release it to him, I'm not never gonna go back and find it again if, he says, if I keep close to him and if I perform his work well. Simple. I go to meetings every day. I have a sponsor. I do my step work. I have some people in my life that have asked me to help them. I've surrendered my life to the program of Overeaters Anonymous, and the proof is in the pudding. Not only have I released the extra weight, but I'm happier than I've ever been because you people told me that the reason I couldn't be happy was because of nothing else but me. Me. That's it. So I want to thank Ann for asking me to come out and share. And then after a minute, I remembered how I met Ann because I came on this meeting one Friday and Ann had asked me, could I share? And I told her about the time I had. And she said, well, maybe when you have a little bit more time, then maybe you can come back. And then I did an outreach call to her earlier this week. And she said, well, can you come and speak? So here I am. So thank you guys for your attention and thank you for letting me share. Love you.